Greetings in Jesus' name this evening. Welcome to this special service. Brother Ken has been appointed by the Brotherhood, has been called forth by the Brotherhood to the office of an elder. And so I'm looking forward tonight to laying hands on our brother and giving him that charge. So thank you for joining us and supporting our brother and sister this evening. I hope you were paying attention to the songs this evening. And if you were, to a great extent, I really would feel that I wouldn't need to even share what I have to share, because I think everything I have to share was summed up almost much more eloquently than I can say it in the songs that we sung tonight. All of them, particularly one verse, stood out to me this evening. It says, "Wisdom and zeal and faith impart, firmness with meekness from above, to bear thy people on their heart, and love the souls whom thou dost love." Speaking of ordained brothers, and a prayer for you tonight, Brother Ken. Let's just pause for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you this evening and we want to dedicate this time to you. This time of considering the office of an elder and laying hands on Brother Ken. I pray that you would bless him tonight, strengthen him, give him courage, give him wisdom, give him love, give him humility. Give him what he lacks most. And bless the gifts he has. Lord, just I pray tonight that you would pour out your blessing here. Thank you for each one that has come to participate, to support our brother and sister, and to share in this special service. Thank you that your church, your kingdom, is going forward. Lord, that the church would grow in these latter days. Lord, we look for your coming. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. For a text tonight, I invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, and our text will be the first four verses. First Peter 5, reading in verse 1. "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." These verses are words from Apostle Peter to elders, elders of the churches, ordained men, ones that have been appointed to the task of caring for the flock. And Just a bit to note there when I say caring for the flock. In the scripture, when we think about elders, bishops, these terms are used interchangeably. When we think about that, in light of scripture, we have to recognize that probably the most, well, I'm sure, I know, the greatest metaphor that is used in relation to bishops and elders is the metaphor of a shepherd. And so the word shepherd, flocks, sheep, gets all intertwined into this subject of an elder. And so tonight, I would just like to look at these four verses and bring our message out of them. If you would just glance over now or turn back to chapter 2, verse 25, you would see who the chief shepherd is that was referred to. Chapter 2, verse 25 says, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." So tonight, the perfect example for elders is Christ Himself. He was the ultimate, the perfect, sinless example of one who serves, one who loves people, one who gives his life for others. Back to our text in chapter 5, I see a simple outline here out of these verses. First of all, I see the calling of a shepherd. The calling, or we could say the task, the job he's appointed to. What is his job? What is his office? What is the purpose of his ministry? The calling of a shepherd. Secondly, I see instruction for a shepherd. Now, that's kind of the same thing and related, but specific details as to how this is to be done. How is the task supposed to be gone about? As of course, as in many things, there's more than one way to do the same job. And thirdly, the reward of a faithful shepherd. So I would like to consider these three things. The calling of a shepherd. And we see this at the beginning of verse 2, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof." So two things, A and B, feed the flock and oversee the flock. What does it mean to feed the flock? Well, we kind of know what it meant for a shepherd in Bible times, responsible to care for, to feed, to find daily sustenance for the sheep that were in his care, to make sure that he found a place of pasture, that he would lead them to, and that it was good pasture, that it was safe pasture, to watch out for the overseeing part. If we think of oversight, he had to look out, number one, for danger, for predators. The Bible talks about wolves in relation to the flock. And so the responsibility of elders is to feed the flock, to find spiritual food and feed the flock, and also to give spiritual direction and protection. Spiritual food, spiritual direction, and protection. I invite you now to turn to Acts chapter 20. You can keep your finger or marker in it, 1 Peter here. Here Paul is speaking. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is speaking to the elders at the church of Ephesus. And we will pick up reading in verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. There you have it. The Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, and that they are to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. Again, we see those two same ideas or responsibilities of elders, of providing spiritual food and also providing spiritual direction and protection. And again, mentions grievous wolves and the dangers, false doctrines, false teachers. And as I said earlier, Christ has been our perfect example to elders. And so let's turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, these are the words of Christ. Let's start in verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Again, giving spiritual direction, protection. Christ is our perfect example. Another thing we want to see here in Christ's example is that he says he giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I give my life. I lay it down willingly. Jesus literally gave his life in death on the cross for us. And Brother Ken, you probably will not have to do that in that manner. But Jesus also gave his life in other ways, and he gave his life in ministering to people. And you are called to do the same. Elders are called to give their life, just as Christ did, in ministering to people. Now, I did not come tonight with a list of Maybe I should have, but a list of shoe leather practical examples of how this works out. But I think you already know, having lived longer than I have, having served in ministry as a deacon, and many other experiences in life, I'm sure you already know that all those things that I could mention sum up into one thing that we could call time. Time. Jesus gave all of his time for people, giving up time that we could live life with. Instead, we spend it for the good of others, whether it's discipleship, counsel, a listening ear, feeding and caring for the sheep takes time. Now, as I considered the Apostle Peter's writing, and that he says, feed the flock of God, I thought of a dialogue, a conversation that Peter himself had with Jesus. And I would like to go there and take a look at that passage. We find it also in John chapter 21. John chapter 21. And tonight, I bring this passage to our attention, not so much to emphasize the point I'm making here, but I would like to just give this as a bit of encouragement to you, Brother Ken. When Jesus called Peter to be his disciple, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And we know what Peter's response was. He left his nets, left the boat, and followed Christ. He went as a disciple and was ministering to people alongside with Jesus, helping Christ. But here in chapter 21, we find Peter, and this is after the resurrection. Peter's seen Jesus at least twice before this happens. He knows that Jesus is alive, but somehow Peter seems a bit disillusioned. And it seems like Peter can't quite figure out, what is this all about? What is my calling in life? I've just spent so much time following this man, and he was killed in a cruel way, and now he's alive. I know he's alive, but what does this mean to me? And he seems puzzled. Well, Peter had a calling on his life, and I think he knew that, but it was perplexing. And in verse 3 of chapter 21, Peter says, "I go a-fishing." There's a couple of them there. "I go a-fishing." And they say, "We'll go along with." And they go fishing all night, and they don't catch anything. And in the morning, Jesus comes and stands on the shore and shouts out, "Brethren, do you have any meat? Did you catch any fish last night?" And they say, "No." And he says, "Cast your net on the right side of the ship." And they cast it, and they catch a swarm of fish so great, 153 or something like that, that they can't draw the net back into the boat. They have to drag it to the shore. John says to Peter, "It's the Lord." Peter jumps into the water and either swims or wades to shore. They find a meal prepared. Jesus had a fire and fish on there, and he had a meal prepared for them. And I'd like to start reading in verse 15. "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?' He said unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' Saith unto him, 'Feed my lambs.' He saith unto him again the second time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' He saith unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He saith unto him, 'Feed my sheep.' He saith unto him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' Peter was grieved because he saith unto him the third time, 'Lovest thou me?' And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Jesus looks at Peter and asks him, Do you love me? Do you love me? Peter says, You know. Jesus, you know I love you. And three times, until Peter's perplexed and he's grieved worse than he was, seemingly almost more than he was before the fishing trip. And then Jesus talks to Peter about his martyrdom. And I don't know how much Peter understood about that, but I doubt it sounded very pleasant. And Peter's even more and more confused. And then Jesus says, Peter, follow me. The call on Peter's life had not changed. From the day he had left his fishing nets till now, the call, the simple call, follow me, Peter, hadn't changed. Tonight, Brother Kenny, Jesus says to you, Ken, do you love me? And I've seen you answer this many times already. Yes, Lord. And you answer that call. Yes, I love you. And maybe there's times that you'll face in ministry and have faced in ministry where you feel perplexed, where you feel at a loss. You may be unsure what you're called to do in a given situation. And you may even be like Peter, who said, I go fishing. Just let me go do something that I actually know how to do. Just let me go grow corn and raise chickens. I know how to do that. I don't know how to do this. But God is still calling, Ken. Ken, do you love me? And the answer is, when you say yes, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. And if it seems so difficult at times where you can hardly handle that call, feed my sheep, just remember, the call is the same as it was when you answered the call of Jesus Christ in your life. It's simply, follow me. Later, we know that Peter's confusion was all removed, and he saw clearly on that great day of Pentecost. He stood up and preached a powerful sermon, and the church was born, burst on the scene. Jesus said, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church. God has a way of working with us. The same way he worked with Peter. And so my encouragement to you tonight, Brother Ken, is keep saying yes, as I see you have many times already. Yes, I love you. Secondly, if we think back to our text, and you may go back to our text in 1 Peter chapter 5, I would like to consider the specific instructions for a shepherd. And there are three things given here. Each one is a negative, do not do this, but do this. The first one is, not by constraint, but willingly. Not because the call of duty is forcing you to do this, Not because you have to, but because you're willing to do what God has called us to do. And Brother Ken, I've heard you express some of those uncertainties, some of those uncertainties that I understand very well how you feel. Some areas where you feel inadequate for the calling that God has placed on your life. But I've also heard you say more than once in recent days, I'm willing. I'm willing. I bless you for that tonight. But this battle of the mind and will is not over. Keep responding to the call of God as you are today. Secondly, letter B, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And I would like us to notice that each one of these things builds on the previous one. Not but constraint, but willingly. So now we're willing, but now what is the motivation? Why are we willing? Make sure it's not for filthy lucre. Now, the Bible says filthy lucre here, but I think we could maybe more correctly apply it by saying for the gain, for the benefit of the office. Make sure that is not the motivation, but rather, let's be willing. Be of a ready mind, which means a willingness. It's another Greek word that means willing, but it means more than that. It means willing with prompt response or with cheerfulness, with readiness. Again, keep serving. Keep serving with that readiness. Thirdly, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. Ensamples or examples, we would say. As elders, we're not to be dictators over the church, but we're called to lead by an example of godliness and follow Jesus' example as the chief shepherd said to Peter, follow me. And I would suggest here that following Christ's example in leading is the primary point of these 3 points. Like I said, each one builds on the last. Don't do this because you have to. Be willing. But then be willing for the right reason. Make sure our motivation is correct, is right, that we have a right heart. And when we have that motivation right, let's be willing with a ready mind, with a forward spirit, with cheerfulness, with prompt response. But when you have that forward spirit and you're passionate about what you're doing, be careful that you don't become a dictator or be a lord over the people of God, but rather passionately live out an example of following Christ. That point, this point, of being an example, following Christ, fits very well into the context of 1 Peter. And we're not going to take the time to read much here, but if you would just turn back to chapter 2, again, we'll read a few verses. But Peter speaks a lot about living in holiness, speaking to the church, to everyone, the need to live in holiness, to be surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And he spends a lot of time about suffering for the cause of Christ, suffering because we've done right and we suffer for it. And then he says to elders that we need to be an example in these things. 1 Peter chapter 2, there's quite a bit here that would be fitting to read, but let's just start reading in verse 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, sorrowing wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. In other words, it's no big deal if you suffer for something that you've done wrong. But when you do right and you suffer for it, that's acceptable to God. Verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. An elder is called to follow Christ and live out an example of living in holiness, and in that, willing to suffer for what is right, for doing right. And I'm sure you already know this, Brother Ken, but at times, you know, you try to help a situation, you try to help someone out of love in your heart with all the right motives, and it seems like all you get back is pain. And you're misunderstood. Let's follow Christ's example. Now, just a word for the rest of us. We can overemphasize the point by leading by example to the point that I would strip Ken tonight of the responsibility to direct and correct and to use his authority as he should. That can be done. He is called to lead by example, but we are also called to submit to the direction that he gives. As it says in the following verse that we did not read, after our text in chapter 5, verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed in humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And tonight, Brother Ken, you are older than myself, and I stand subject and in submission. I want to be in that place. Thirdly, the third point that we would like to bring out of this text is the reward of a faithful shepherd. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Brother Ken, as you've gone throughout your life, God has brought more responsibility, more responsibility, more responsibility. It was, I think, 10 months ago, less than a year ago, you were ordained as deacon, and you thought, more responsibility. And now today, more responsibility. And if you're like me, you probably feel a bit overwhelmed. And I don't know how you are, but I tend to think negatively. I tend to think when more responsibility comes, oh my, more responsibility, this is more opportunity for failure. That's the way I tend to look at it in my fleshly tendencies. Let's not forget that when we are faithful, more responsibility brings more reward. We have the parable that Jesus gave in Luke 19 of the pounds, where he gave 10 pounds, 5 pounds, and 1 pound. And when the one with 10 pounds was faithful, the one with the greatest responsibility was faithful, he got the greatest reward. And the one who had a small amount and was not faithful, his reward was taken away and given it to him that had done well. It doesn't matter how much responsibility we have. The important thing is that we are faithful. But I do want to emphasize to you, Brother Ken, tonight, rather than focus on that negativity like I just gave as an example of myself, to focus on the fact that if we are faithful in much, we will be rewarded much. In conclusion, I just want to bless you, Brother Ken. Answer the call of a shepherd. As you answer that call, I know you are answering that call. As you seek to provide spiritual food, feeding the flock, oversee the flock, provide spiritual direction and protection. And as you seek to follow the instructions and do it willingly, not because the office brings you advantages, but with cheerful readiness and lead by example, and you will have a reward. And I trust that someday you will say with the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Brother Ken, it's been a blessing to serve with you in your role as a deacon, and I'm looking forward to laying hands on you and receiving you into the team as an elder. And in some ways tonight, I felt that you being older, you having more experience than myself, even though I've been ordained for almost 2 years, you having more experience in ministry, you would have had more authority to teach what I taught tonight. But I trust that in spite of that, you can be encouraged, be blessed with this message. With that, we'll move ahead with the ordination.